Well, we have our presentation loaded, and next up, Matthew Bright, Ohio State University.
Thank you, everybody, for your patience. Good afternoon. I would like to acknowledge my fellow co-authors here, Dr. Ibrahima Jeju and Dr. Bayala, and Dr. Ndor are from the Senegalese Institute for Research in Agriculture, and then Dr. Lydie Lardy is part of the Institute for Research and Development in France, and then my advisor, Dr. Richard Dick. So the story that I'm going to tell today is about the long-term impact of two native shrub cropping systems. So this is a subsistence farming, and it's a little bit different from the presentations that we've heard so far. So Senegal, the story takes place in Senegal. Where is it? It's the farthest western country in Africa, jutting out into the Atlantic. And when people ask me what Senegal is like, I tell them that it's sandy. The sand percentages across the country are 90%. So normally we report the clay percentage in soils. It's more important really to present the sand percentage in Senegal. And it has a 9-month dry season. This photo is taken in that dry season, followed by a 3-month rainy season when all the cropping is done. So you notice that there's trees and shrubs interspersed throughout this landscape. In that 3-month rainy season, farming is done by hand with animals, and we're talking very small farms, so 1.5 to 5 hectares is the majority of farms there. Of the employed labor force, as you can see, about 3/4 of it is in agriculture. And the predominant crops, when you look at cropping land, it's about 70% in a millet and peanut rotation. That's pretty typical. Peanut is a cash crop. It's exported from Senegal. Millet is more of a subsistence crop. So there are a lot of challenges in this environmental context. First and foremost, we have drought. And the drought can come on either end of the 9-month dry season, so it can be a prolonging of the dry season, or the dry season can arrive early at the end of grain filling, and that's a big problem. You can also have periodic 5-day droughts or 2-week droughts within the rainy season. We also have very low organic matter, so these sandy soils, low soil fertility, of course the CEC levels very, very low. We have desertification, so the encroachment of the Sahara Desert from the north. And then finally, we have overgrazing, a lot of animal production there, and all of these make a perfect storm a lot of times and give very low crop yields. There are a couple major ecological zones in Senegal. First, we have the Sahelian zone, which gets 250 to 500 millimeters of precipitation. And across this region, there's a shrub, Guerra senegalensis, is predominant, and it grows at about a 240 shrub to hectare density. And then in the southern zone, with a little bit more precipitation, we have the predominant shrub is Pileostigma reticulatum. So the typical shrub intercropping system in Senegal, farmers treat these shrubs as a weed a lot of times, and unfortunately they coppice them and then they put a match to the material and burn it, which is very unfortunate. Then sowing is done. The shrubs oftentimes regrow. Some farmers will cut them back again, but oftentimes they're just allowed to regrow because the crops are up by this time, which finally leads to harvest. So our idea was to set up a long-term cropping experiment to see about this millet and peanut rotation, and we said, what if we cut out the burning and optimize the shrub density to between, say, 800 to 1,500 shrubs within a plot. What would our long-term cropping dynamic yields look like and soil nutrients? So we did just that. We set up a northern site at Kermitar, and then a southern site at Nioro back in 2003. And these are what the site characteristics look like. As you can see, we have very low organic matter, 0.35%, 0.52% in the south, and low precipitation. And I would like to mention that this is the longest continuously operating millet peanut rotation experiment, to the best of our knowledge, in West Africa. So We used a randomized split plot design, again established in 2003. Data was collected 2004 to 2007, and then this data, which the most current, which I'm reporting on, is actually 2011 to 14. I'm sorry about that. Notice that our optimized density is 1,500 to 1,833 shrubs per hectare in the north, and 888 to 1,500 shrubs in the south. This is what the plot setup looks like. This is another experiment, not during the rainy season, but you can see this is an irrigated experiment, and you can see the differences, same levels of irrigation, and the just vast difference in growth here between a shrub plot on the right and not on the left. So again, data collection was done 2004 to 7 and then 11 to 15. And we looked at yield, biomass, particulate organic matter, total organic carbon, NPK. This is the 2004 to 7 data was published in the agronomy journals. These are the two references. So getting right into yield, this is the kind of table we all want to see. It's highlighted because there's significant differences. So you can see each year between the shrub plot and the no-shrub plot. And I'd like to highlight the fact that when you have these no-shrub plots, it's very hard to get any sort of a millet yield. You get almost nothing. So the importance of the shrubs in this system, just having even base densities across the field, are very important. We want to concentrate, though, on the zero fertilizer level because that's realistically what most farmers have in Senegal. So when you look at comparisons between the 04 to 07 data and the 11 to 14, of course, we have to take into account the precipitation. So this is during the millet years, 05, 07, 11, and 13. And what we see when we have a shrub and millet is that we have pretty stable yields there, even though rainfall's dropped a little bit in those years. And then the no shrub and millet, again, almost no growth. So back in 05 and 07, it was the same thing as what we saw in 11 and 13. The shrub and the peanut, though, interestingly, we see increasing, and the no shrub and peanut increasing, yes, but not to the extent that we see in the shrub plots. And that's is not all attributed to precipitation, as we see in those peanut years. We have a decrease in 2014. So when we look at the fertilizer, the different fertilizer rates, 0.5, 1, and 1.5 times, we see an increasing trend. But notice the interaction there. We're in the shrub plot, the upper curve with the blue boxes. The slope of the curve is much greater than what we see in the no shrub plot. For peanut, we don't have that same effect of fertilizer. But again, notice the separation between the shrub plots and the no-shrub plots. Looking at the southern site, we don't see as much dramatic differences, and we didn't back in 2004 to 7. But again, notice that the zero fertilizer rate, we're still seeing significant differences between shrub and no-shrub plots within each year. This is looking comparison between the 04 to 07 data and the 11 to 14. Again, this is precipitation during the millet years. And we see, again, a pretty steady trend with the shrub and millet in this system. But notice the split that's coming out in the last 2 years, 2011 and 13, where you see the no shrub and millet decreasing. Shrub and peanut, again, somewhat of an increase, it plateaued somewhat, but very importantly, in 04 to 07, we did not see significant differences in the zero fertilizer plots, but you can see a separation opening up in the 2012 and 14, our yield data. It's precipitation in those years. For the fertilizer additions, we see similar slopes, not the same interaction with the shrub going on there in the south. And again, the fertilizer inputs are not helping us very much down in the peanut in the southern site. So potential factors that are increasing these yields, we know that the shrub rhizospheres harbor a lot of beneficial microbes. This was a paper that my colleague Spencer Devenport just published this year in Applied and Environmental Microbiology. We know that there are enhanced soil physical and water holding capacity. Hydraulic lift is also something that occurs here. And what that is, we see a movement of water from the subsurface where these root, deep tap roots from the shrub are able to access water, pump it up, and then at night, some of that water leaks out into the profile. These are at very low soil water potentials. And that is driving some of the nutrient cycling as well as some of the water ending up in the roots. And then carbon is a big thing, which I just want to show in the next couple minutes. We looked at particulate organic matter, and back in the 2004 to 7, we found a very good correlation between particulate organic matter. This is the organic matter that's between 53 micrometers and 2 millimeters. And it's in the labile fraction, so active carbon that's quickly mineralized within the year. We found that to be very good, well correlated with yield. So what we see in 2012 and 13, we see significant differences at the zero fertilizer treatment, which is interesting. In 2013, at the beginning of the planting season, it looks like a lot of the particulate matter from the end of 2012 was mineralized or degraded. We're not sure what happened there, but again, it's important to note the difference in the zero fertilizer treatment. We're seeing significant differences there. At the southern site, we did not see the kind of particulate organic matter differences that we saw at the north. But if you consider, we broke up the particulate organic matter, divided the total carbon, so what you're seeing, the sum of the bars, the total carbon number, we divided it up into the particulate organic matter fraction, which is the purple, and the what we call the non-label carbon, which is less than 53 micrometers. And so what we're seeing there for total carbon is a lot more in the shrub rooting zones in those plots than in the no-shrub zones. And notice also that the particulate organic matter fraction has a very large percent of that total carbon. The southern site, the particulate organic matter fraction is not nearly as much as what we see at the north. There's a lot more precipitation and nutrient cycling going on down there, and we're also not seeing as much of a significant difference there in the total carbon numbers between the shrub and no shrub plots. Notice also just the fact that we actually have increased, the carbon has increased in the shrub plots. It's a little bit higher than what we saw in the southern sites. So if you look at this in total and look at the difference between the non-labile carbon fraction, which we considered to be far more sequestered because it's not in the labile fraction, it's going to stick around a lot longer. If you look at the difference between a shrub plot and a no-shrub plot and consider the bulk density, we're looking at close to a ton per hectare sequestered carbon to a depth of 10 centimeters in the northern sites, not nearly as much in the southern sites. Of course, there are a little bit big standard deviations, but that's just a ballpark figure looking at that mean. So in conclusion, we have that shrubs are augmenting yields at both the northern and the southern sites, but the impact of the shrub effect is much larger at this northern sandier site. The shrub effect acts as a buffer against soil degradation. It stabilizes millet yields. While the peanut yields, we're not sure, they might still be increasing, so hopefully we can continue these experiments into the future. There's an added benefit of carbon sequestration in the non-labile fraction, which is important. And we think that these optimized systems should be adopted by local farmers. So thanks very much. And my funding comes from the National Science Foundation, Partnership for International Research and Education Fellowship. Thanks. Yeah, that's a very good point. For us, we chose that as an optimized, just a ballpark optimized figure, based on where we thought that it was sufficient that you wouldn't actually have spatial, interference with the crops, and you could be able to run a plow over these things after you coppice the material and still plant in rows, which is typical. But we're not sure. There could be what's optimal. We haven't gone higher than those densities, so we're not actually, we call them optimized because that's what we've found, but any more than that is not very prevalent. You can find spots throughout the Sahel where you do have those densities, but beyond that, it might be difficult to actually grow the shrub at that density.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah.